702.
WhatsApp us now on 072-702-1702.
Time to welcome our human potential and parenting expert, Nikki Bush. Welcome. Hi, Nikki.
Good morning, Rafael Ware.
So, Nikki, with so much fear and anxiety around, parents obviously want to make sure that their children understand what's going on immediately. But at the same time, you want to do that without instilling anxiety or fear in the kid, or communicating your own anxiety and fear to your child. What is the most effective way to keep your child up to date with COVID-19 messaging? And make sure that the message lands?
Rafael, it's such an important question. I think, we have such a strong desire to keep our children safe. We also want to reduce our own anxiety, and we want to have a sense of control. So before they leave the house or get in the car to go back to school or wherever they're going right now, you kind of want to shake them and say, did you get it? Did you understand?
Sure.
You know, but I want to just share something about the resilience of children, because I think this gives us a little more perspective, because right now we're losing perspective because of our fear and anxiety. So understand that children actually cope with change better than adults do. And here's a story from a friend of mine whose child was in hospital with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it's the most remarkable thing. She watched a little boy who had lost his leg to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on to a drip stand, put on rollerblades, and literally skate around the ward. And children will find a way to make life go on. You see, kids get on with it, and adults stop living.
Mm.
And this would be whether it's disease, whether it's death, whether it is anything at all, going to school. You know, they are more adaptable and more resilient than we think. But our fear and anxiety tends to block them from getting on with it. And then I want to give you another story around sexuality education, because mm-hmm. here's another area where we freak out.
Yeah.
So you want to get it right. You want to say it right. Most importantly, you want your kids to understand what you just said. So often what happens is parents decide they're going to take the dive and they're going to talk about sexuality education. And you know, the big thing that everyone is fearful about talking about is how the sperm got to the egg.
Of course, yeah. Okay. Discussing anatomy.
That's the big elephant in the room. They're happy to talk about pregnancy, even childbirth maybe, but not quite how the sperm got to the egg. And children are interesting. You know, they hear a lot of information and innuendo and whatever. And I'm going to share a story that happened to me with my eldest son when he was 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
Came home from school, and he told me this joke. And it was full of sexual innuendo. And it was about a BMW parking in the garage. And he was laughing, but I knew he didn't actually know what he was laughing about. So I decided that I was going to take the gap, because, you know, there's a saying around sexuality education that by 8, it's too late.
Uh-huh.
Now, he knew everything about pregnancy. He knew everything about childbirth. He pretty much knew that, you know, men and women had to get together to make a baby. But he didn't know how the sperm got to the egg. And that was the one piece of the puzzle that was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, my darling, do you know why this joke is funny? And he actually looked at me very sheepishly and went, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm going to tell you. Now, at that point, it was now bath time. He was in the bath. I was in the bathroom with him. And I said, look, the garage is actually a woman's vagina. And the BMW is a man's penis. And this is how the sperm gets to the egg. So we had this whole conversation about that. And then after a couple of minutes, he looked at me and he said, I think I've had enough, Mum.
Yeah.
So at that point, you've got to stop, you see, because there's a point at which you get to information overload.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the trick, and I learned this so well with that situation, is that our temptation as a parent is to ask them half an hour later, did they understand? Did you get what we were talking about?
You want to recap, almost give them a test, right?
Exactly. We want to test their knowledge, and we want to test their understanding, because if they feed it back to us in a way we understand, we will feel better.
Sure.
And you know, I didn't say anything for a few days. And about 4 days later, he came back to me and he said, and now this is a child of 1,000 questions. I thought he'd become an engineer, but he's not an engineer. And he said, I've got it. He said, I know how the sperm gets to the egg. It's like a mid-air fuel transfer between two aeroplanes. See the engineer brain. How does it work? He says, you know, when the one aeroplane needs more fuel, they bring in mid-air, they bring in another aeroplane, and it's got this long metal pipe that goes from one fuel tank to the other, and that's how they transfer the fuel in the middle of a flight. He said, that's how sex happens and the sperm gets to the egg.
I love it. And, you know, if that's what he needs to understand it for now, absolutely. You've got your working knowledge and your working definition.
Model, yes. Exactly. So I think that's just such a beautiful analogy and story for how children's minds work differently to ours. They do not have an adult brain yet. So we have to give them a lot of concrete examples, and then we have to let the message land. And that requires some time and some space. And so often we're invading our children's space because we want to drum it into them.
And have them repeated, you know, by rote or verbatim back to us. Yeah.
Now, interestingly, what teachers are doing in schools right now to help the message land, teachers know that children need concrete experiences and they need a lot of repetition in many different ways. So we are trying to undo generations of wiring of touch, no touch, you know, all of that stuff at the moment. And imagine having children on a playground right now and having to keep social distancing. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I've been speaking to teachers, and these are the kinds of things that they're doing. So without being the serious, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that, they have these rhymes and things, and they say things like, as children arrive at school, kiss, hug, wave, and say goodbye. And that's a rhyme that the children are learning because the parents can't go into school anymore. They have to drop them at the gate.
Sure.
So it's kiss, hug, and wave, and say goodbye. And then they do this thing, you know, because we can only touch elbows. Give me that elbow, ching, ching. And they'll do that every now and then during class time, just to get children moving and get them to understand they can touch, but it's got to be safe touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's another one which is really sweet, and it's, if you want to play 2 meters away, and that's the chant on the playground, if you want to play two meters away.
Nikki, you know, what I'm curious about is just the reality has obviously set in for those kids that have gone back to school, right? So for those that have returned to government schools, it's the grade sevens and the grade 12s. Other private schools have also gone back as well. And, you know, the stark reality of what they're dealing with, I guess, has hit home for children. How to help them process that? Because I think for the kids that were just excited to get back to school and see their friends, despite the fact that they'd been under lockdown. I had a conversation with my little one who was like, it feels like we'll never be able to, you know, be friends the way we were before, you know, because of that social distancing, because of break times spent so far apart, and even just lining up being so far apart, you know, there's a literal physical disconnect,
but
an emotional one. How to help kids process that?
It's a really weird situation. And I think over time we will get used to it. And at some point this should die down. But we don't know. This could go on for another 12 months, say, at school. You know, they really might have to do this for quite a long time.
Sure.
So with there are thinking skills exercises that teachers do. So with younger children, they're getting them to draw a picture of themselves and their classroom to express this new reality. For older children, it's doing things like a mind map, where they do a mind map and they have to write down their feelings because they can now write.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we talk and the more we express, the more we label how we feel, we concretize it as opposed to it being a monster in our heads.
Sure.
If we can externalize what we're thinking and what we're feeling, it makes it easier to manage. And there was something we spoke about, I think it was right at the beginning of COVID. There was a school, Heronbridge College, had the art teacher had done an exercise where you take an A4 piece of paper, mm-hmm. and she'd folded it up into enough squares for the whole of the 3 weeks of lockdown.
Sure.
And every day you could draw a tiny little picture about how you felt, even if what you did was just colored in the block black because you didn't feel happy.
Mm.
And that is extremely helpful in helping children to externalize how they feel. It's a little bit like you and I sitting with a coach or a counselor.
Mm, absolutely, yeah.
And clearing our heads and sorting out our baggage. I think what's incredibly important at the moment, and we said it before, but I'll reiterate it again. As parents, we need to deal with our own anxiety right now. We need to find a way to offload our baggage and work through what we're feeling, because it is unbelievably anxious, and we must believe in our children's ability to cope and adapt to change. So in some schools right now, there's a lot of, like, there are QR codes, and they have to use their phones, these are for older kids, to scan where they've been.
Sure.
You know, and I think that scenario planning with children right now is also important, because I don't know if you've heard, but I mean, all the schools in the UK have shut down.
Yeah,
they're not going back for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
We just don't know. So we have to do those scenario plans with our children.
And how to do that, Nikki, by effectively communicate that this is a contingency plan. It's not what's going to happen, but also a contingency plan that doesn't spell a doom and gloom, you know, and hang the specter of the worst over the child.
Well, I think it's about saying, you know, it's what if, you know, that there are various scenarios and there are various plans. And schools have really spent a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of effort in putting together the safest scenario for our children. And you know, it's going to be what it's going to be, but it is to say to our children, so if this happens, this is what the school will do. If that happens, then this is what the school will do. And I think you're going to see that schools are going to start coming out with plan A, plan B, and plan C, because they know that we need to prepare our children for the what-if moment.
Absolutely.
They know that it's going to be easier for our children to digest if they know that there are three different plans, and depending on how things evolve, one of those plans will kick in. Now, don't forget that our children from an early age, when did your daughter first go to a fire station? Probably at around the age of 4, when they're in preschool.
I'm not sure she's ever been to one.
Well, you know, the fire station is a lovely analogy, because if they ever go to a fire station, and I remember actually, fire stations are a great place, probably not now, but certainly when my children were younger, you could book the fire station for a party.
Mm.
And they'd let the kids go down the fire pole. They would drive them around the block in the fire engine. But the most important thing they teach children is the safety mantra of stop, drop, and roll.
Okay.
So this is the what if. What if you are in a room or a building that is on fire? What do you do? And they drill it into the kids. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. You stop. You drop to the floor because that's where the oxygen is, low down, and you roll because if you catch fire, you need to smother the flames. And, you know, I ask children from the ages of 8 through to 16 when I do digital safety presentations, I say, what would you do if you were in a fire? And they all say, stop, drop, and roll. Because
sure.
They got it. And then I say, so what's the digital safety mantra? And it's stop, block, and tell. That's the digital safety mantra for being online if something goes wrong online. So that's why when I say this is what teachers are doing with children, they're just regularly dropping these mantras in for children, you know, about if you want to play 2 meters away. They don't go into all the depth of, you know, if you don't do this, then this will happen. You know what I mean?
Sure. So keeping it simple and digestible, essentially, for the child. And that mantra, of course, makes it easy for recall and essentially execution.
So at the end of the day, what are we talking about? We're actually talking about clear communication. Very clear communication with a little bit of fun. And as we were saying earlier, that different things might happen, which means we have to respond in different ways.
Fantastic.
And that's important.
All right, fantastic. So the Toy Talk feature is back. Talk to me about what you have picked up for this week. And this is a nice one, actually. It's setting the kids up to be able to start finally making their own face masks.
Oh, that would be a good idea. So this is called Stitch by Color. It's a range from Melissa and Doug. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of different pictures that children can create. But it's a sturdy wooden board, a thin wooden board. And it's an easy base for stitching. So your children stitch along colored lines with wool and a plastic needle. And so it comes with everything. It even comes with something that helps your child to thread the needle well. It's got a special needle threader. So it's got 24 meters of colorful yarn and this wooden picture that they literally stitch. And it's only 125 Rand per pack.
Mm.
And I think it's all fine motor coordination. It's eye-hand control. It's spatial planning. It's a craft. It's creativity. And these are such cute pictures that I think a child would then probably want to mount it on their wall or stick it with Prestick onto their cupboard door. And it's about a 21 centimeter wide. So think of a ruler, okay. A ruler length.
Yeah,
it's kind of that size, each picture. And I think it's a lovely way to get kids to do something that is educational, but also fun and entertaining at the same time.
Yeah, and ultimately useful. I mean, who doesn't need to learn how to stitch and sew? I hear many people saying, not me, but I still think skills like that are incredibly, incredibly important.
Well, unbelievably important, actually. And you know what's quite interesting? So I was, I'm a sewer.
Sure.
I haven't done it for a while, but my kids have seen me with a sewing machine and embroidering and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize how children actually absorb. So once again, we talk about allowing time and space for something to land. My eldest, when he was 15, had a kit bag, his favorite kit bag, ripped.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't ask me to fix it. I walked into his room and found him with a thick sewing needle and fishing gut. And he was stitching his bag together all by himself, hadn't asked me to fix it. And I thought, wow, there's a life skill.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is an important life skill. So yeah, nice choice there by the Melissa and Doug Stitch by Color. I love Melissa and Doug toys, by the way. What are we looking at in terms of the price point?
Only 125 Rand. I think that's a really manageable price.
Mm-hmm.
And these would be nice for your own child as well as a gift for another child if you had a birthday gift. And if you go onto takealot.com, you should see a nice range of what they have to offer. And most good independent toy stores will have this range as well.
Okay, fantastic stuff. Nikki, thank you. Pleasure as usual. You and I will touch base next Saturday.
Fabulous. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. You keep well until then.